Hi, Dr. Rollins. I saw you write in the Marine Corps Gazette that requested any incidents concerning caisson that you might feel would be of interest. I have one that might be, and I'll put it on a tape because I think I can get a little more detail in. I'm Colonel William Farrell, and I retired from the Marine Corps July of 74. I'll give you a few personal statistics to sort of establish my credentials first. I was commissioned in August 1943 out of flight school, flew F-4Us and VMF 312 during World War II. At Okinawa, I shot down 5 Japanese airplanes. During the Korean War, I flew 100 missions with VMF N-513 and VMF 311. I arrived in Vietnam in August of 67 and made Bird Colonel a couple of months later, and was assigned duty as the base commander at Chulai. I'd had 2 or 3 hops in the A-4 at Cherry Point before leaving the States, and fortunately the A-4 group commander was a friend of mine, and he let me fly his airplanes. I was at Chulai for about 10 months and continued flying missions during the entire period of time. I totaled 184 missions, the majority of which were in A-4s, and I was then assigned to Da Nang and became the CO of MWSG-17. But about caisson, some general comments first. First, the base, caisson was nestled in beautiful green verdant hills when we were first making strikes. But in short order, the area for 3 or 4 miles in every direction resembled a World War I no man's land, or the surface of the moon with the overlapping bomb craters. There was much small arms fire, especially on our low-level missions, but there was also an ever-present danger of running into other airplanes, for there were continual missions being run by the Marines, Air Force, Army, Navy, Vietnamese. Sometimes the coordination wasn't what it should be. Many times you'd pull out of a dive, either high-angle or low-level, and find yourself passing through the traffic pattern of another strike, or even through their ordnance patterns on the ground. Specifically, though, your item reminded me of one of my strikes that I thought might be of interest to you. It occurred about the middle of the second month of the siege. I was on strip alert with a young pilot for VMA 311. We're loaded with napalm and 500-pounders with snake-eye fins. Now, a snake-eye fin, after you drop the bomb, sort of folds forward, and it gives the bomb about the same trajectory as a napalm, and so you can make low-level napalm runs without any danger of being hurt by your own bombs. We're scrambled about an hour before sundown, and we arrived on target at caisson about 25 minutes later, in A-4s, of course. We rendezvoused with the airborne controller, who was circling caisson at low altitude. We requested that he mark the target, and as he fired his white phosphorus marking rocket, we started our runs. Me first, my wingman behind me. He directed us to make our runs in a westerly direction, which was generally into the sun. Now, I was about halfway down my run when the Willie Peter broke, and the controller directed us to unload our ordnance on the mark. The mark, however, was inside the base perimeter barbed wire on the runway overrun. Now, I was certain that the controller was in error, and I quickly called my wingman, told him to make that run a dummy run. On pullout of this dummy run, I questioned the controller, and he, in no uncertain terms, told me to drop where he had marked, for the bad guys had tunneled under the wire and were boarding the base in the overrun area. So the next run, we dropped the HE snakes. By this time, the sun was fairly low in the horizon. As we made our second run with napalm, I could see a lot of human figures running or milling around in the dust created by the HE. With the sun fairly behind them and our low-angle approach, their silhouettes were easily made out. Now, our napalm saturated in the area, and as we left, the controller gave us 8 to 10 KBA and a well done. I thought it was a fairly successful strike too, and we were extremely careful due to the proximity of the friendlies. I mentioned the incident because I'd heard of no other airstrikes being made on the base, and it does demonstrate the audacity and the daring of Charlie. It wasn't too long after that that the siege ended, and then to our utter amazement and disgust, Khe Sanh was deserted by our folks. I guess the powers that be knew what they were doing, but we were never given an acceptable reason. I don't know if this incident will be of interest to you, but I thought it worth mentioning. Thank you.